Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery channel.
Hola, it's Garbled Twistery, and it's been months. But we're out here, folks. We're doing things. It's 1804 election time! So what we know, presidentially-wise, going in? Well, Tommy J seems to be sitting on easy street because the French Revolution is taking a breather, so trade is booming. And obviously, Louisiana. Yup, Tommy Mac and Cheese Jefferson seems like a shoe-in. And there's actually another reason why Tommy J was a shoe-in that all three of you have been waiting for me to talk about. But don't worry, I'll get there when I get there. First, let's back up and talk about all this Democrat-Republican drama that revolved around who in the world was going to replace Aaron at the Cactus. So, the Cactus starts, and this time around, it wasn't some crazy informal secret meeting. It was open to the public, and there were, like, free bagels and stuff. They even tried to make it as drama-free as possible by trying to, like, not argue about who's going to take the job and just casting the ballots, you know? So yeah, Jorge Clinton won with 67 votes, Johnny Becky got 20 votes, and the rest were split up amongst almost everybody else I've talked about these past couple months. I mean, these idiots. Why were y'all voting for Johnny Becky? The man used to live in Virginia, and Tommy J is literally from Virginia. Like, come on, Democrat Republicans, it's not called the United States of Virginia. Johnny Becky even went out and tried to nag everybody so they wouldn't put him on the freaking ticket. Get a clue, people. But the thing is, the people out in the West freaking loved Johnny Becky. And they were like super mad Johnny didn't get on the VP ticket, even though Johnny himself didn't even want that to happen. Like in the Philly newspaper known as the Independent Gazelle, some rando was like, "Only true Americans will put Johnny Becky on the ticket while sitting on a motorcycle eating a corn dog." And Johnny Becky literally had to write back saying, quote, "Stop eating corn dogs, they're trash, and for crying out loud, don't vote for me. I don't want this. I did not consent," unquote. But the thing is, here's the hot tea. The person who wrote the original nonsense was Johnny Becky's buddy. Like, they knew each other in Boy Scouts or whatever. So before even responding, Johnny waited a week to see how everybody was reacting to it. I know, what a politician. And some crazy-wazy journalist named Brad was the guy who freaking spilled the beans about this fact. And wait, I have another pot boiling! You see, Brad had a freaking grudge, because when he was at Constitution Con, he tried to get Johnny Becky to hook his cousins up with some government jobs, but Johnny wouldn't do it. Hence the Def Jam vendetta in the Independent Gazelle. And of course, Bradford's journalist friends took his side in the freaking papers. But the thing is, Johnny Becky did see a draft of the article, and he did say, "Don't publish this foolishness," only for him to be disobeyed and for the article to show up while he was sick, in bed, at home. Jeez Louise! But I mean, whatever, too little too late, dude. The damage was already done, and the votes from Kentucky shifting totally to Jorge Clinton for vice principal is proof of that. So yeah, that's the drama that was happening at the Democrat-Republican caucus. The Federalists didn't even have a cactus. But that's because, as I explained before, they don't even think they have a chance, so they want to stay low, okay? They want to stay low and lay low. There's another reason why the Federalists don't think they have a chance, though. And it has to do with Aaron Burr and all his passive-aggressive nonsense turning into aggressive-aggressive nonsense. Okay. So, as you know, Tommy J was planning on cutting Aaron out of his life the second Aaron Burr tried to seal that 1800 election against the wishes of his own party. We also know that Alexander Hammy Tanny and Aaron have a rocky freaking history filled with lies and slander and poison water. And Aaron knew he was getting the boot. I mean, come on. But hey, just because the man is down doesn't mean he is out, am I right? Cold Man Aaron, decided he ought to run for governor of New York on the way out of the White House. But that nonsense obviously wasn't going to happen without Alexander Hammy Tammy having a word about it. Hammy Tammy went straight to the newspapers with that hot topic gossip, y'all. No, really, he hated that guy. Here's a quote. Quote, "If the freaking ice cream man Aaron Burr becomes Prezi-Wezi, he will freeze over the entire country with his cold, unnatural ice cream heart." Unquote. No, but the back and forth shenanigans between these two have been going on for literally over a freaking decade. Aaron stole a Senate seat from Hammy Tammy's father-in-law. Then Hammy Tammy went campaigning against Aaron when the Democrat-Republican tie happened. And now we got Hammy Tammy at it again, going all out in the newspapers. And it was all this straight-up slander that prompted Aaron to be all like, quote, "You know what, greasy man? Let's take this outside. You and me. Next Tuesday, behind the swing set, let's go," unquote. And this was an interesting challenge, because these two people aren't really first-timers, you know? They've had their Yu-Gi-Oh! National strats for years, you feel me? They know how to do. But before we get to the Yu-Gi-Oh!, we gotta talk about all the trash that's leading up to this epic duel. So, some dude named Charlie Cooper writes a letter that basically says, quote, "Aaron Burr is some southeastern Connecticut trash. You can't trust him. You can't," unquote. And some New York newspaper makes it news. So Aaron writes a letter that's all like, quote, "Oh yeah, well, Sly Cooper is trash," unquote. And then Hammy Tammy wrote a press release that was all like, quote, "Look, I ain't got nothing to do with this," unquote. But Aaron Burr was just not planning on getting over it anytime soon. So now they're going back and forth with Aaron being like, "Say it's not true," and Hammy Tammy being like, "There's nothing I can say that will make it not true because there aren't any specifics." So yeah, this just kept escalating awkwardly until Aaron decided it was time to sell this over a competitive duel behind the swing set. And, you know, Alexander Hammy Tammy probably didn't even want to accept this freaking duel. Like, he's got a wife and kids, he's got bills to pay, but the thing is, Hammy Tammy knew how he felt about this ruffian, and he also knew that he himself said some things that he knew he couldn't take back. But he also didn't want to take him back. So maybe this Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel was a long time coming, you feel me? So, on a steamy July morning, Tammy and Aaron got on different boats and traveled all the way to the exotic land of Weehawken, New Jersey, right near the Palisades Mall. Why? Well, that's because dueling Yu-Gi-Oh cards isn't as punishable there as it is in New York. And also, they're freaking lawyer types, so of course, they were doing all their plausible deniability shenanigans. "Yu-Gi-Oh cards? What Yu-Gi-Oh cards? I didn't see a pistol. In fact, I had my head turned, you know?" Yep, shenanigans. Aaron got there at 6:30 a.m. because he got things to do. He wants to get it over with while the eggs are still hot. You feel me? Hamilton got there like 30 minutes after that. And then they drew cards to see who had the first move. Hamilton won it. I mean, other people think that Hamilton got to go first because he wasn't the one that decided it was time for a duel, but their backs were literally turned during the whole thing for plausible deniability, so who really knows? But anyways, according to the people that were there, the duel was over in two, yeah, I said it, two moves. Green Eyes Magenta Dragon, am I right? Apparently, Hammy Tammy started off by putting a little Karibo in defense mode, but boom, Aaron hit him with that Green Eyes Magenta Dragon, and it was a wrap. That dragon stabbed his liver, his diaphragm, lodged a claw in his spine, lights out, y'all. And Aaron immediately felt bad about it after, but I mean, come on, it's a little too late, am I right? So some dude named David shows up to look for a pulse on Hammy Tammy. No dice. However, just to make sure, they put some salt in his nose and put him in the water, and boom, he woke up. What were Hammy Tammy's last words? Quote,
I wasn't trying to play this match seriously. I mean, did you not see me use Karibo? Whatever. Someone take care of my Yu-Gi-Oh deck. It's dangerous in the wrong hands. But yeah, bye, folks. Unquote. No, but he really didn't like the idea of dueling at all. Hammy Tammy wrote a freaking letter talking about how dueling was totally not his thing. And he said that he wasn't going to go all out at first and might not even go all out at all. But, I mean, he could have wrote that letter just to make sure that if Aaron Burr did kill him, Aaron's reputation would be ruined five ever. And let's be honest, nobody really knows if Aaron wanted to kill the guy. On one hand, he was totally bragging about it. On the other hand, Burr would have been alright if Hammy Tammy just said sorry instead of playing Karibo like that, you know? I mean, how was he supposed to know Hammy Tammy wasn't playing seriously? So yeah, they took Hammy Tammy to Mr. Barnyard's house, and he got his last rites and stuff, and he died in front of, like, 20 of his homies. Aaron got a freaking murder charge in both New York and New Jersey, but he didn't go to trial for it. I mean, a jury did find him guilty, but somebody with money influenced the judge or whatever. You know how these political cases go. Aaron took a break, but then came back to finish the term, but I mean, obviously, he wasn't going to stick around, so when it was time to leave the vice presidency, he wrote this super epic breakup song that tore everyone's heartstrings out. Then he ran off to Louisiana to go and try and illegally build an entirely new empire, but that's a new story for another day. So, what did all of that dual monsters nonsense have to do with the 1804 election? Well, remember how I talked about there being a second reason why those Federalists didn't have a chance? Well, yeah. Alexander Hammy Tammy and Guildenstern is dead. And as we know, Hammy Tammy was to the Federalist Party what Dwayne The Rock Johnson is to blockbuster movies that take place in the jungle. I'm serious. He was the freaking leader of that entire political entity. So if the Federalists weren't a hot mess before, they're a middle school cafeteria now. But nonetheless, the Federalists did do a little campaigning, talking about that unconstitutional Louisiana purchase and that slave Tawny had kids with and stuff. But I mean, come on. That kind of stuff ain't gonna work. Not against all this manifest destiny nonsense. So yeah, as expected, Tommy J won this nonsense in a landslide. That's what happens when you settle land super fast. The Mac and Cheese Man won everywhere, even in hyper-federalist New England. Well, I mean, Connecticut and Delaware went Charlie Piccaninny, but everywhere else, Tommy Bananas, he won. Tommy Bananas. This was like the first time any Democrat-Republicans won in New England. Good game, Mac and Cheese Man. Good game. If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, cough syrup, you can find Garble Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbletwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbletwistery.net. Also, I have a Patreon now, so if you go to patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, find Garble Twistery and become a patron, you'll gain not only the access, but you'll gain the ability to determine what topics get to be Patreon-exclusive bonus content. I know! Exciting! There are more details about how this will work on the Patreon page. But wait! There's more! If you become a patron of $5 or more, you'll get full access to the entire Patreon-exclusive season titled Garble Twistery, A Second Look. These episodes will primarily be remakes of my earlier sloppier episodes, along with many entirely new episodes to tag along. And now, a snippet from the upcoming Spider-Man suggestion episode.
Spider-Man.
He's a businessman, okay? He's all about business, y'all. And you know what that means? That means Mr. Stanley's thinking about target audiences and whatnot. And you know what he's thinking about? Bratty little acne-ridden teenagers. Sounds like a good time, don't it? Become a patron if you want to hear more. Anyways, next time, it's 1805. You know what that means? You know what that means? German Christians.
Yeah, that's right. It's time for one of the coveted in-between election episodes. Oh, yeah, let's learn something new.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
Let's take this outside. You and me, next Tuesday, behind the swing set. Let's go.